And join me in Acts 13. Acts 13, we've been studying for a couple of weeks now, and hopefully it will finish Acts 13 here this morning. The title of my message is Hear the Word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. We'll see throughout this text, verses 44 to 52, you'll see this emphasis on the word of God, the word of the Lord. We'll see that several times in the passage, and so we're looking at hearing the word of the Lord. I want to catch you up from last week, if you weren't here, or even if you were here last week, I want to remind you about verse 43. So if you look at Acts 13:43, after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. That Paul had told them the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, and that all who believe on him will have forgiveness of sins. And there were those who believed that message there in the synagogue. And so Paul and Barnabas, they spoke with them. They told them the good news about the grace of God. They said, continue in the grace of God. I think in part that implies don't go back to the Old Testament law. Don't go back to the Jewish synagogue. Now you're a believer in Christ and his grace. Come be part of a church of believers in Jesus and his grace. God's free offer of salvation for all who believe the message about his son. And words related to speaking and hearing the gospel, we'll see them at least six times in our verses today. It reminds us of Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This passage we're going to look at today, it's all about speaking and hearing the word of the Lord. That's four times in these verses, the word of the Lord, the word of God. Here, the word of the Lord, it means the message about the Lord, the message about the Messiah, Jesus. That's the word of the Lord in this passage, what we would call the gospel. In this passage that we're going to look at today, I'm going to give you my outline. Right away here. We haven't even finished the introduction, but I'm going to give you the outline. Okay? Number one, you'll see witnesses reveal the gospel. And two, some reject the gospel. Three, the witnesses give a biblical response when the gospel is rejected. And then fourth, some rejoice in the gospel. And you're going to see this pattern. It's a four-step pattern. It's repeated twice in our passage here this morning. So let me pray with you, and then we'll dive into these verses. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news that sinners like me can be forgiven and have eternity in heaven because of Jesus, your son, who came, who died on a cross, who fulfilled all of your law and requirements, rose again, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we thank you for the gospel. And Lord, may we rejoice in it. May we be faithful to share it with others, even when they don't want to receive it. But Lord, thank you for those of us who've heard the word and believed and can rejoice in you. And I pray that through this preaching, there will be even more rejoicing in you because of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you look here at verse 44, as the witnesses reveal the gospel, you'll see the next Sabbath, okay, which is Saturday, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So that week before, Paul and Barnabas went to this Jewish synagogue. They were invited to share a message. Do you have any words of encouragement? Any words of exhortation? And Paul says, as a matter of fact, I do. And he tells them that the Messiah is Jesus, the one from Nazareth who came and who healed and who taught and was nailed to a Roman cross and he died, but God raised him from the dead. And he says, whoever believes this will have forgiveness of sins. And so he gave the gospel. And then all week, they were talking about it in town. There's a buzz about that town of Antioch, talking about this message that they heard at the synagogue, this message from Paul. There was a buzz all week. I think probably next week we'll still be talking about the wedding we had yesterday. We had a beautiful wedding here. We had all these pews were full, the chairs, there was chairs in the back, people sitting back there. The air conditioning was working, so it was rejoicing in that blessing. The power did not go out with the storm, so that was great. We had a beautiful wedding, two Christian young people trusting the Lord and committing to each other. And I want to thank all of you that were part of yesterday, making that happen, from set up to clean up to all of it. And those that served the meal and helped Joelle and the Browns with all the little details, that's great. And it was great to see our church celebrating together. I even saw Barb Fielder on the dance floor. And so we may have to have a meeting about that. But she was rejoicing with them in that celebration. But people will still be talking about Joelle's wedding, Joelle and Nathan's wedding, in the week to come. Here, there's this buzz in the town about the gospel message that they had heard. The word of the Lord, this God's message about Jesus. The missionaries had shared the good news. The city there was a hum about the city, which means people must have left that synagogue that Sabbath day, and they talked about it. They talked with their family at lunchtime. They talked with their coworkers. Did you hear this message? That Jesus from Nazareth is the Messiah. And yeah, if you look at the scriptures, you can see how he fulfilled this and he fulfilled that. He fulfilled all these things. And you could hear them in the market, in their fields where they worked, at the theater. And yet they had a theater in Antioch. It was open where they had plays and productions. And that was in this town of Antioch. You could imagine people everywhere talking about Jesus, the Savior, and forgiveness of sins through faith. Jewish people had lived there in Antioch for centuries. I mean, historical records and archaeology shows that there were Jewish people there, but they had never seen an attendance like this. The next week, it says, almost the whole city came to hear the word of the Lord. And we see what happens in verse 45. But the Jews saw the crowds. They were filled with jealousy. Instead of rejoicing to say, the Messiah has come, and let's let the world hear about it. Instead of being a light to the Gentiles, they were jealous. Well, we never had this many people come to our meetings. We never had this many people come any Saturday, and they were jealous about it. And so what they did, they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul. In fact, they insulted him or they reviled him. This is what people will do. When they can't out-argue you, they'll try to assassinate your character. You say, well, they're young. Well, they don't really know all that they should know. Well, they weren't right about this thing, so they're probably not right about that. Well, they're new. Or whatever excuses. It reminds me of the documentary on Whoville and Christmas time, and how a certain Grinch tried to steal Christmas. And Cindy Lou Who, she gets out the Book of Who, and she says, basically, we're supposed to let anyone come and celebrate the Christmas, and especially the Grinch. And the mayor, Mayor Mayhew, he tries to dismiss Cindy Lou. And he misquotes the Book of Who, kind of tries to make it up as he goes along. And he says, why would you listen to this little girl who hasn't even grown into her nose yet? He can't discredit what she's saying, because it's right from the book. So he tries to discredit her and dismiss her. There's no need to listen to her. This is what the
the opponents do to Paul and Barnabas. Nah, don't listen to him. He's from Cyprus. Barnabas is from Cyprus. Don't listen to them. We don't really know them. And they tried to insult them and revile them and dismiss them. But will the missionaries quit? Will the missionaries just give up? Say, well, I guess it's they don't want to hear it. They don't like us. I guess we'll just go away. No. They have a commission from God. They were called by God and sent by God. They have the word of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord. And so even though there were those there who reject the gospel, number three, the witnesses give a biblical response to this. I love it. Paul doesn't try to defend himself and say, well, hey, don't you know I studied at the feet of Gamaliel? Hey, don't you know I was a Pharisee? Hey, I got some synagogue cred here that I could use. He doesn't say that. Look what happens in verse 46. Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly. I mean, they have the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in them. They spoke boldly saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Okay, there's a word of speaking. Paul speaks out boldly and he says the gospel was to be spoken first to you, the Jewish people. The gospel is for the Jews first and for the Gentiles. But we came to you. We came to where the people of God, they know the scriptures. They should have recognized that Jesus is the fulfillment of their scriptures. But, he says, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, they've rejected the offer. Paul says, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's a quote from the Old Testament. That's a quote from Isaiah 49, verse 6, that Israel was to be a light, a witness to the world, to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth. Jesus commissioned his disciples in Acts 1:8. He said, you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. He sends out his disciples to go with the gospel. The world is in darkness, and yet God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, who is the light of the world. And now God sends us as light bearers. We take the light of Christ to those who are lost in darkness, to those who are lost in sin, which the Bible calls darkness. And Jesus, the light, shines. I think often about the brave scuba divers. I want to say it was 2018, in the month of July, but there were brave scuba divers who swam through the flooded cave in Thailand to reach the soccer team that was trapped in the back of the cave. And when you think cave, this cave in Thailand where they found the kids was 2 miles from the entrance of the cave. It was over 2 miles. And the divers had to swim through the dark, and they, I'm sure, would have had their lamps. But when they got to the back where the soccer team was, 12-year-old boys and their coach, when they got there, those kids were in total darkness. I mean, if you've ever been in a cave and they turn the lights off and you can't see your hand in front of your face, that's what you'd be talking about. And the kids were back there for days and days and days. And finally, some brave scuba divers were able to get back there and find them. And they brought light to those people trapped in darkness. And they rescued them. They brought them out. Everyone was brought out. And I think, may we be like that with the gospel. Can we take the light, the good news, the saving news of Jesus to people who are lost in darkness? From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God calls his people to bring light to the nations. As the old hymn says, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. They give a biblical response. They answer from the scriptures. We're just bringing the light that God has called us to do. And then what happens? Fourthly, some rejoice in the gospel in verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, so Paul, he opens his mouth and he speaks the good news, and the Gentiles, when they heard this, they began rejoicing. Like, yes, praise God, hallelujah, and glorifying the word of the Lord. Remember that there's an old chorus, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Can you hear them singing? They're glorifying the word of God, the gospel, that God loves sinners, Gentiles even, and welcomes all who believe in Jesus to be saved. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. So here's a mystery in God's word. God is sovereign. Here it says he calls, well, we saw this earlier in the chapter, he called a couple missionaries, he sent them out. He sent them with the gospel. This says he's appointed people to be saved. But the missionaries must go. They must speak the word. People must hear it and receive it, believe it. And so you're responsible before God to believe, and yet God is sovereign in his work and choosing and sending, and it's a mystery. But here it is in the text. They were appointed to eternal life, and they believed. They heard, they received the gospel. There was joy in their heart, and God was behind all of it. So what happens next in this text, starting in verse 49, is our pattern, our four-step pattern, repeats itself. And so the witnesses reveal the gospel. We see this in verse 49. The word of the Lord was spreading. Or we could say it was being spread throughout the whole region. There are people talking about it. Those who've been saved are saying, I've been saved. I've been forgiven. There's something different in my heart now. And isn't that true with you? That when you received Jesus, when you believed in him, and maybe you were 5 years old or maybe you were 50 years old, but at some time you heard, you knew you were a sinner, and it was the best news that someone, that God loved you and gave his son for you that you might be saved. And something happens inside of you. There's a change that happens. There's a joy that happens. There's a relief. You're forgiven. Your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. You have a home in heaven. You're brought into God's family. And you're never going to be lost. And he's always going to be with you. And you learn these things and it just fills your heart. Fills your heart with joy. Joy of salvation. And you talk about it. You want to share it. You pray for opportunities to tell someone who's ready to listen of what Jesus has done for you. The witnesses reveal the gospel. And yet, some reject the gospel. We see that again in verse 50. The Jews incited the devout women of high standing. So that would be Gentile members of the synagogue. There were men and women, Gentiles. They were following Jehovah, but they were Gentiles. And it says they incited some of the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. Here's Israel. There's the people of God. They're not believing in their Messiah, and instead rejecting the gospel and stirring up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And they drove them out of their district. The Greek is literally they threw them out of their district. People are getting too excited about Jesus. Too much of this grace being talked about. We don't want that here, they were saying. We're losing our synagogue members to the church. We need to stick to the status quo. And so they expel Paul and Barnabas and the missionaries. They're rejected. This continues today all over the world, that people share the gospel and others don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe that. It sounds too good to be true. And so they reject the gospel. And so what do the witnesses do? Verse 3, they give a biblical response. They shook off the dust from their feet against them. This is what Jesus had taught in Luke 9, verse 5. What they're saying is, we did our part to tell the gospel. We have come with the gospel, but we cannot make you believe it. We can't make you become Christians. And actually, later the Roman Empire will try to do that. They'll try to make you must be a Christian or else. But you can't make someone become a Christian. You bring the good news. We're the messengers. But it is God who does the work. Every time I come into the church now, I see the beautiful planters that are next to the door and the beautiful flowers that are in there. And I told Michelle, I said, Sonia planted and Mary has watered. And they just look beautiful. And Michelle goes, and don't forget, God made them grow. God made them grow, these flowers. Same thing with people. We plant and we water, but we can't make anyone trust Christ. God works in their heart. That's what we pray for. God, give me opportunity and then open hearts to believe this good news, this gospel message. But if they will not, I'm not going to keep badgering them. I'm not going to keep trying to twist their arm. Here he says, they shook off the dust from their feet. In a way, it's a sign of when God brings judgment on this place, none of it will be on us as witnesses. We are free from any connection to the disobedience here. We gave the message. They're rejecting it. We just have to go on to another town. We have to go to more people and try again. And try again with someone else who may be ready to listen and to hear. The sower sows the seed and then sleeps, Jesus said. You sow, you tell the gospel, but then you leave it in God's hands. You leave it to him. But there are those, verse 52, finally, some rejoice in the gospel. And the disciples, that's those who believed, Jews and Gentiles both, believing in Jesus, forgiven and continuing in the grace of God. It says they are filled with joy. The word filled, they would use that to describe a sail on a ship when the wind hits it and it's filled and it drives that boat where you want it to go. The disciples were filled with what? With joy and with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Even in the face of opposition, even though there were those who were against the missionaries and kicking the missionaries out of town, the joy in the new believers' hearts was overwhelming. They rejoice in the gospel. This echoes Acts 2:28, and Acts 2:28 is quoting Psalm 16:11. Here it is. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. That the way to God, there is a path that leads to life. And Jesus said, I am the path. I am the way that leads to life. And in the presence of God, having the Spirit of the Lord in you, filling you, there is joy. There's joy and gladness in the presence of God. These Gentiles hear the word of the Lord, and they were already part of God's eternal plan. They believe the gospel, and their hearts are filled with joy. And you combine that joy with the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you've got a powerful witness for the gospel. You have someone who has the power of God, the strength of God to share the good news, but it's already personal to them. Do you know about that? Where you believe, and it's changed you, and you say, Lord, please give me the opportunity to tell someone else about this. We've seen this connection several times in the book of Acts, from the very first believers to Peter and Stephen and Paul, and now these new believers in Antioch, they're filled with the Spirit and become bold witnesses for Christ.
So as I close this morning, let us pray diligently. Let us pray as a church for a renewed joy and filling of the Spirit. We must have the Spirit of God working in us to share the Word of God. It's God's work in us and in others to believe. Some will reject it. But let us be brave, speaking the gospel to those God has prepared to hear it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the examples we see of new believers being excited and having joy in your Spirit in their hearts, and what a difference it makes. Father, I pray for us as a church, for those who have trusted in Christ, that we would have that joy of salvation renewed, that we would recognize your Spirit is in us and wants to work through us. May we yield to you. May we be joyful in your presence, and I pray, give us opportunities to share the good news. Work in hearts that souls may be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and we'll sing a closing song together?